On Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA, it's WRTA Weekend. Doug Herendeen. Once a month, we talk to the folks from ARC Federal Credit Union. It's Money Matters. Liesl Kapphammer is with ARC. And we're going to talk about a different topic that we have, a different aspect of money than we have so far. You talked about on a previous program paying it forward.
Right.
This one may enable more people to do that. How about paying yourself first?
Yes, this is a very, very important topic when it comes to managing your money. It actually really facilitates building those savings just on so many levels, because whenever you prioritize paying yourself first and you don't see saving money as something that happens whenever I have extra left over, you would be surprised how quickly you could start saving.
Probably so. I think all of us could, myself included. But I have to wonder, it's like if you – what you don't see, you don't spend. Mm-hmm. Is that how this works?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So first off, how do you start this with reviewing your spending?
So just like we've touched on multiple times in these discussions – the best way to start is to have that budget laid out, to know where your money goes each month. So if you haven't done that yet, maybe you visit the website, check into some of our other podcasts. But if you don't know where your money's going, you don't know how much do you actually have to work with and what categories. And when you do, then you need to be able to break that down. You can use those budgeting apps, but you need to have a set amount to be able to put away each month to pay yourself. And it has to be a realistic amount. So if you don't know how much you spend on groceries or transportation or your utility bills, then it's hard to give yourself a realistic figure that, hey, I'm going to put X dollars aside to pay myself.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that, what I do is, and I don't know if this is sort of after the fact or before the fact budgeting, but I will look at my credit card statement and say, okay, this is how much I spent on groceries this month. And it's always more than I wanted to. It used to be I could get out of the supermarket with about $35 a week. That's not always the case anymore.
Oh, gosh, no.
No. $35 isn't necessarily going to cut it, especially if something's on sale and you know you're going to use it, mm-hmm. as opposed to, oh, it's a bargain, I can't turn it down.
Right.
Yeah. So when you do that, because I think most people are going to say, I don't have anything separate that I can put aside.
And that is where having that budget already figured out will help you a lot. Because when we talked before about setting up a budget and having, a spot for savings, whenever you are looking at paying yourself first, you have to look at this as the money that I am setting aside for this is an investment in my future. Right. This is whether I'm using it for my short-term savings, for my long-term savings, for a specific goal, or this is my mad money, my slush fund, whatever you want to call it. Like, I don't know what it's going to be for.
Rainy day.
Rainy day fund.
Something always comes along.
Yeah.
I didn't know I'd have to get the dentist that much. Oh, I need new tires.
Exactly. So that paying yourself first mentality of I need to make sure that there's going to be something there in case – beyond, well, I know I want to have my emergency fund that has 3 to 6 months worth of expenses to cover my bills if I have to go on disability and the paperwork for my short-term disability is going to take 8 weeks to process. Well, what am I going to do in those 6 to 8 weeks?
Yeah.
Things like that happen, you know? So you want to make sure that you have some kind of cushion to prepare for that. That is the idea of pay yourself first is an investment in yourself and taking care of your future. If you have a family, definitely make sure that you have something in place to protect and prepare for that.
Yeah, I noticed the number of people that will pitch life insurance as, well, just in case. Okay, that's an investment in your future. Maybe mm-hmm. not a good future, but it takes care of the family. But right. Most people wouldn't think to do something for the present. And this is more present than future.
It is. And I know sometimes when you think about, well, if I'm only putting aside, like, because I know that there are definitely, especially in these economic times, it's very hard to think about chipping away from the money that is coming in. Even $10, $20 a paycheck, and just putting that aside, that does add up, right? It's not as fast as if you could put $100 aside or $120 or whatever it is that everybody's in a different category. Budgets are very personalized. But wherever you're at, start somewhere. Like, don't just, oh, well, I can't do that now. It'll have to wait till I get a raise or till I'm in a better position.
And that never happens.
Right, exactly.
Even if you get the raise, by then something else has taken it.
If you wait until you're ready, it'll just it'll never happen.
And no offense to Dave Ramsey, but some people will call that show here on WRTA. Yes, I know. But some people will call the show and say, well, you know, I just can't seem to save any money. Well, what do you make a year? Well, I make $150,000. My spouse makes $120,000.
Doesn't that drive you nuts?
Yeah, it's like, dude, I'll trade right now. Right now. I remember being at a township meeting one time, and a guy is complaining about a tax increase. Hey, you know, I'm on this is 20 years ago. I'm on a fixed income. I only have $40,000 a year. And I thought at the time 20 years ago, I'll trade you. But but it depends what you've already got yourself into spending. Mm-hmm. If you have a lifestyle that's going to require all that, that's something you have to look at separately.
Right.
But you can still make a budget whether you make minimum wage or whether you make $40 an hour as a paid whatever.
And I will say I've seen both sides of that coin where there are people that live modestly. They live within their means and they're doing okay for where they're at, you know, but I've also seen people that make much, much more and just can't balance their checkbook. They can't keep track of what's coming in and out of their account. And they are the ones that are struggling and their accounts get overdrawn. I'm not broadly generalizing, but I've seen it in both categories of you would think that you're making enough money to be doing okay. What's wrong? Whether or not you know how to manage, it's not a question of how much money are you bringing in. It's how are you managing it once it gets to you?
I'm not asking this to be snarky, but are some of these people that make a good deal of money, maybe if they made less, and I'm not wishing that on them, but maybe if they had a lower salary and a simpler life, they could understand that. But it's when they start making the big bucks, they can't wrap their head around, well, oh, I have this much to manage, but I don't know where it's going.
And I think it starts small a lot of times, like, oh, you get a promotion or you get a raise and you think, well, now I can afford this and I'm going to get this as a reward for myself. And you just kind of keep snowballing until it becomes this avalanche that you can't manage. You didn't realize that all these little tiny things add up to, oh gosh, now I'm in over my head and yikes.
What about, you mentioned it earlier, short-term and long-term savings goals. Mm-hmm. First off, having a goal kind of helps.
Absolutely. Humans are just wired to, whenever you have that in front of you to reach for, you will keep going until you get it, right? Most of us are wired that way.
It's better than it being nebulous?
Yeah, right.
To have the fixed goal. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So if you want a better chance of success, give yourself, whether it's a set dollar amount or an item that you know this is what I'm going for and this is what I want to achieve, that is a better way to plan your savings goals. Long-term savings goals are generally more like your retirement savings and maybe building a house, buying a house, something that isn't going to be realized in the next couple of years.
Your car doesn't need replaced now, but you figure in 3 years it will.
Oh, yeah, car is a long-term savings goal now.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, considering you could have bought a house for what some of these cars go for at one time in our lives. I think about the house my folks bought in 1957. It was by no means a mansion, but it was on Long Island. It was $16,500. The taxes on that same house now are approaching $12,000 a year. So it shows you how things change. Yeah. But as far as the long-term and the short-term goals, maybe start small. Do some short-term stuff, and then when you've got that, you got that plate spinning, then you can worry about the long term, or would you set the long term first?
I would say that is one, something that is a personal decision for you and what are your current needs. It is something that you can look at do I even have any kind of – a lot of times employers will give you the option to set up like a 401k or something. Maybe they have a pension plan wherever you work. Look at what's available to you. Talk to someone in HR and say, hey, am I taking full advantage of what you guys offer? Because you don't know what you don't know. And a lot of employers might do some kind of matching program. So if you're not setting aside a certain percentage of your paycheck already into, say, a 401k or something, you might be missing out.
I will speak from experience. I was at a station years ago and people said they couldn't believe that we had a retirement plan, but we did. They set up 401ks for us, and they also had the idea of if you just put 3% of your paycheck in, we'll give you another 3%. We'll match whatever you do up to that. And that will add up. But and again, that's along the lines of if you don't see it, you can't spend it because it was deducted automatically.
Yes.
How do you set a timeline for the goal?
So if it's a long-term savings goal, that is something that you know, hey, I don't need this until I retire. That's down the road, that your timeline is far enough out. Timelines are depending on, okay, this is my new car that I'm looking at getting, and I know the one that I'm in right now, I'm hoping to get another 2 years out of it. So let's give myself a two-year goal. Maybe it's something where I want to go on vacation next summer, so I'm giving myself a one-year goal. You just have to look at what your particular savings goal is, see what realistically makes sense. And then if it's something that maybe it's not a specific item, maybe it's that I need to have a 3 to 6 month emergency savings based on whatever your expenses are. You have to look at that budget, figure out, okay, this is what it costs me to get through a month to cover my utilities, my rent, mortgage, you know, my groceries, and say, okay, that times three, I need to start that. And if that's, let's just say you spend, let's just say someone spends $2,000 a month to cover all the expenses, and they're looking at saving $6,000 to give it that 3 month window. What, based on their current income, if they have a spouse or a partner that contributes to that, they have to break that down to what makes sense for them.
I guess before you do anything else, get that cushion of the 3 months living expenses.
Very important to try and have that emergency fund, even if you just start with 1 month. Because if you think, oh my gosh, I'm never going to save $6,000, like that's crazy. You could say, okay, give yourself 1 month, right? At least something to start with. And then once you have that set aside, you can say, okay, now that I have that, I can continue contributing to that, but I'm going to split that amount in half and use the other half to go towards my account that I'm building up for a new car, because I know I'm going to need a new car in 2 years. Again, it's all very personal. That's why it's hard to really specifically state you need to do X, Y, Z to get to your end goal. Because everybody's end goal is different. Everybody's current situation is different.
We're talking about paying yourself first. Liesl Kapphammer is with ARC, and Money Matters on WRTA is sponsored by ARC Federal Credit Union. It's WRTA Weekend. Doug Herendeen, Liesl Kapphammer is with ARC Federal Credit Union. This is Money Matters. And you wanted to make just a disclaimer so people understand something here.
Absolutely. So ARC Federal Credit Union is not a certified wealth manager. We're not a tax advisor, an investment advisor. All the information we provide is for educational purposes only. So if you are looking into making these decisions, please definitely consult with, you know, your attorney or whoever it is that helps you manage finances if you have someone like that. But we do provide the general outline just to get you started. And if you do have more specific questions, please make sure you reach out to a financial professional for wealth management or investing.
You sort of talked about this in the last segment, but calculating how much you'll need to save each month. This is depending upon, first, the goal, I guess.
Right.
And you sort of just said, well, if you have to save $2,000 for a month, would it also be a good idea, maybe since we were talking about starting small, see how long it takes you to save 1 month. And then you know how long it will take you to save three. And also, maybe you look at your budget there, discretionary, and see, okay, if I cut this, this, and this, how much faster could I make this?
And that's a big part of why you budget, because when you start laying out those savings goals and you think, that's a little longer down the road than I wanted to wait to reach that goal, or maybe you have more goals than you realize that you want to save for, you can go back to that budget and say, okay, what can we adjust? What can I take out? What can I reduce? That's when you
What am I wasting money on?
Right, right. Or just that frugal lifestyle where do I have to buy the name brand of, you know, this item or that item? Can we get by with?
Yeah, sometimes it tastes better. Other times it doesn't matter.
Right.
So it just depends what it is.
I'm a peanut butter snob. I will only buy Jif peanut butter, but most other things.
Team Jif here. Okay. So, you know, sorry to anybody who's listening with Peter Pan. Chunky or smooth?
I'm smooth. My partner likes chunky. I mean,
yeah, chunky.
He'll eat both.
I will vote for the chunky. But anyway, now that we've taken care of what peanut butter you should get,
yes,
and we're not being endorsed for that,
no,
or paid for that endorsement or anything. When you want to do this, you can automate some of this. For example, if your company does offer the 401k, they can take it out. But also, I think that even if a company doesn't offer it, that a lot of mutual fund families will let you make an automatic contribution. If you make a minimum investment, you could save up. This would be for long term, just as a suggestion. Mm-hmm. If they say, okay, you've got to make at least a $500 investment, then you can open this fund, and then you can contribute $25 a month, $50 a month, $10 a month, whatever you can afford. $10 a month is better than no dollars a month.
Absolutely. And even if you're not at a point where you're looking at working with a large wealth management company like, hey, I need to start with a $500 whatever in my account, there are apps like Robinhood and Stash that can get you started with investing in stocks and things like that. And they actually have an educational aspect to them. Stash is one that I'm more familiar with, but that you can start with like $5. Like you don't have to
$5.
Yes. You don't have to have a lot to invest to start purchasing, you know, obviously you're buying very small incremental amounts of stocks at that point, but it kind of gets your toes in the water when it comes to how does this work? And there are a lot of articles and information available when you're looking at how the stock market works and how investments work and what do I need to know before I really start dumping in a lot of money and have a lot of my funds sitting there for my long-term investments.
Something Dave Ramsey has suggested is IRAs. Mm-hmm. And something he has also talked about on this station again on WRTA is why would somebody not take a Roth IRA versus a conventional? Because the conventional, you pay taxes when you take it out. A Roth, you pay taxes when you put it in, and it appreciates and you don't pay taxes. So what we're talking about here, as Liesl said, consult somebody who handles your money or does your taxes or something like that before you do this, because if you go, oh, now I've accumulated, I put in $250 and now I've made it up to $500. Yay. Well, you may owe tax on that if you don't put it in the right financial vehicle.
Right. And that is something, too, based on what is your profession? What do you expect your net worth to be when you retire? Things like that. That is why you want to talk to a financial advisor, someone who's in wealth management. Those tax loopholes can get very confusing and convoluted. So the type of retirement vehicles that you're choosing, whether it's the Roth or the traditional, or how you're putting that money away once you get past that $5 starting point and you start to have some significant savings there, that's something you do definitely want to check in with a tax professional on that, so they can give you the best advice as to, look, given your situation, you have kids, you don't have kids, you want to travel when you retire, or you don't. Everything is – there's a lot of factors at play depending on what you're worried about happening with your money.
Something I'm wondering about is, I've heard all my life, and I don't know that this is true, and I don't know if you have an opinion on it. People say, well, if you put the money away somewhere for your older years. When you're older, your tax rate will theoretically be lower. And I don't know that that's a constant the way government works now. Can you really depend on Washington to always do what they've always done?
I don't know if I should make a comment on that statement, but I will say that not to sound redundant, but again, the person best suited to answer that would be someone who is in that industry with taxes and wealth management, because they do stay up to date on those changes and what could be coming or what they feel based on their experience is the best option for you right now.
Just speaking for me, I would say don't use a crystal ball. You don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
It could be good, it could be bad, and it could be good for you if you do one thing and bad for you if you do another, and then it's reversed, so you don't know. But if you automate savings by having like an automatic deduction, or you were talking about paying it forward on a previous program, you can automate charitable contributions that way as well.
Absolutely. The automation end when it comes to managing your money is something that can be very helpful, especially if you've got a lot on your plate and what adult isn't dealing with responsibilities, home, work, family, friends. You've got a lot going on. So that set it and forget it mindset has really helped a lot of people, as long as you at least have an idea of this is what should be going on with my accounts. The automatic payments that come out that might not be monthly, the ones that are, okay, well, we do this every month, and then once a year you get your annual fee. The ones that are less frequent are the ones that tend to throw people's accounts off. So keep an eye on that. But automating your savings where your paycheck comes in and you go into, like for ARC, for example, you can log into your online banking on your phone or on your computer. And pull up a transfers tab where you go in and say, hey, I want to schedule a transfer to happen on Friday and then every 2 weeks after that, because that's when my money was in my account. And I want it to move $50 into my savings account, and I want it to put $25 into my son's savings account, and then I want it to put enough for, depending on how you have your budgeting set up. If you have, I found it very simple to have my mortgage payments, my utility bills, they have their own separate checking account. So I move those set amounts over to that account on payday.
Okay, that's something I hadn't considered. Yeah. Now, you also talk about monitoring and tweak as necessary. How often do you revisit this?
My partner and I have discussions probably a couple times a week. We just kind of check in, and it's nothing more than 5 or 10 minutes in a conversation. It's kind of just become a habit of, hey, what's going on this week? Are some place sports? Do we have to have any fundraisers going on? Do we have any new equipment that needs bought? Do we just, it's become a routine of our daily conversations. So, oh, hey, this is coming up. We have to make sure that we get, we offered to buy a basket for this fundraiser, or make sure this is in the budget for this month because we're doing this.
So you're not pulling out all the papers and saying, okay, we have to look through everything again and reset this.
Right. And then every so often there is maybe around the holidays or something when we know, hey, we're entertaining on this day. Yeah. We got a bunch of food to buy. We're going to sit down and look at where we are. Every so often we'll take 15, 20 minutes and kind of really go through a little bit deeper, but it's not usually to a point where we have to have the big sit down, reorganize our lives. That's not, once you get to that, hey, it's a part of your routine where you just check in on it every couple days, usually you're running, it just becomes a habit.
So we're talking about pay yourself first, review your spending, set short and long-term savings goals, set a timeline for each savings goal, calculate how much you need to save each month. You can automate your savings and monitor and tweak as necessary. Anything to add to that?
I think that one of the things that a lot of people forget to do when they're setting those goals is be realistic when they're setting those goals. There is a very nice outline, and it's not just financial goals, it's goals in general. The SMART outline for setting goals, make sure your goals are specific, make sure that they're measurable. So you know exactly, I'm saving for a car. I know that car is going to cost me, the one that I want, I'm not going to spend more than $20,000 on it. And I know I want to have a $3,000 down payment. Like, mm-hmm. Give yourself something specific, something you can measure, and something that is achievable for you, if that's within your budget.
All right.
And you want it to be relevant. Well, my car is getting older and I know I'm going to need a new car. So that's relevant to me and time-based. It's going to be in the next year and a half to 2 years that I'm going to be getting that. So SMART is something that's specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-based. Those are key factors.
Where are the ARC locations?
We are in the Juniata section of Altoona, down by the shops. And then we are just off 17th Street on 7th Avenue.
And the website is?
arcfcu.org.
And we'll have those links on our website. Just real quick, there's only a few more days in the month of July, but you're collecting for Military Families Ministry USA, which is based in Bellwood. And let's see, non-perishable microwavable meals, protein-rich food bars, crackers, snacks, fruit snacks, body wash, soap, hand and body wipes, deodorant, razors, shaving cream, toothbrushes, things like that they can bring to either of the locations, right?
Yes.
And we'll put some information about that on the page as well. Liesl Perfect. Kapphammer from ARC, thank you very much.
Thank you, Doug.
And by the way, if you would like to get a review of how this all started, the first episode of Money Matters is going to be coming up following the break here on Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA.